Following is a recording of the Kathy Grannis teleconference with the National Retail Federation, scheduled for Thursday, October 6, 2011, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Excuse me, everyone, and thank you for your patience in holding. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, you will need to press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ellen Davis. Ms. Davis, please begin.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. This is, I think, a trifecta of the very best that NRF has from an analysis and insight standpoint, so I'm really excited that you're all able to join us. I think today's call is going to be fabulous. I am joined by Jack Kleinhens, who is NRF's chief economist, Matthew Shea, NRF's president and CEO, and Pam Goodfellow, consumer insights director for Big Research. Each of them are going to talk for about 5 minutes on some of the factors behind our forecast, what's happening in retail, what to expect from a consumer standpoint, and then we're going to turn it over to questions. So with that, I'd like to invite Jack to get started and talk a little bit about the 2.8% forecast that we released today, as well as some of the factors from an economic standpoint behind that forecast.
Thanks very much, Ellen. I'm very appreciative to be here with you today to discuss the holiday sales and the economic backdrop for our figures for this holiday season. As Ellen mentioned, we have forecasted a 2.8% increase in holiday sales year over year. I believe it's consistent with an economy that remains somewhat cautious and operating at a subpar trend. The other couple of figures that we have released certainly are important. That is that seasonal hiring is basically to be between 480 to 500,000 jobs this holiday season, approximately the same as last year, but I think, again, consistent with the sort of the economic outlook as we will be describing. And also, as part of our discussion, we can talk about non-store sales. Our year-over-year forecast is 13%. Now, in terms of coming up with the forecast, we use a number of factors. An important part of our development is an econometric model. I have several variables that I use, including past retail sales, consumer credit, disposable personal income, consumer confidence. This is also supported from data and other trends that we watch very closely, certainly the stock market, industrial production, and employment. And as you look at what's been happening, just last week we continue to get data on the economy, and it certainly has been mixed. Last week gave us backsliding information to the extent that inflation had been up. We've seen consumer spending a bit anemic, personal income off, consumer to confidence, still a pessimistic reading, but yet up. New home sales fell, housing market continues to struggle. Now, those are all important factors in terms of the economic outlook, because to the extent that we look at consumption or consumer spending, it's based on the willingness to spend, which is really financial well-being, and the capacity to spend, which is basically actual finances. And all of those variables, I think, are entering into the equation for our consumer. Now, not to leave on a negative note, actually this week we've seen some encouragement to the extent that the ISM manufacturing numbers are up and employment index within the manufacturing index is up. Construction spending is shown to be up. Factory orders, they were off, are still showing shipments that are positive. And then yesterday, employment numbers for the ADP came out on a positive sign. Now, as we think about going forward, a lot depends upon the labor market. And we will see some information tomorrow morning when the Bureau of Labor Statistics provides their employment report, the situation for employment for the previous month. This will be a big piece of information as we think through the remainder of this year and going forward into 2012. I guess as I kind of sum up things here, to the extent that the data does not speak necessarily with one voice, while the economy has stalled, I think there is still momentum, and we don't want to confuse speed with direction. And the pace is far slower, than what we had seen in previous recovery expansions like 1990 and 2000. And it's due to the weakness in demand, and there are several factors that have also led to that weakness in demand. Certainly the lack of confidence, the concern over several geopolitical issues in the world, the fact that we have not been able to get more employment in this economy, recurring and persistent unemployment are all factors that are influencing the consumer at this time. So as I close, I think we should understand that I think the consumer remains to be an important ingredient in the U.S. economy, representing 70% of the economic base. As we get closer to the holiday, as weather changes, I think we'll see that the consumers will hang in there and that they certainly have it thrown in the towel.
Great. Jack, thanks. This is Matt Shea, and thank you all for joining us. And let me just sort of pick up on that, on the forecast, the overall outline of the factors that contribute to the forecast that we put out today. I had a number of conversations about this already, and I've been asked if the perspective of the holiday forecast is sort of looking at the glass half full or half empty. And I think that depending on your perspective, you can take that either way. Some people are going to view this as too optimistic. Some are going to view this as potentially slightly negative. But for all the reasons Jack just stated, we think that that this is a very accurate prediction, taking into consideration the consumer confidence issues and the macroeconomic challenges and the lingering pace of the recovery, which, as we know, Jack alluded to, is in some ways painfully slow, but we do continue to see growth, and retail sales have obviously grown for 14 months, so we have that as a foundation to go into this holiday season, and we know that although in some ways some of these conditions at the macro level feel similar to 2008, we know that both retailers and consumers are better positioned than either were in 2008. So while gains aren't as substantial as we've seen in previous years, we know that that part of the challenge, of course, is that the retail industry is going up against tougher comparisons. Last year was much easier to work off of two negative years, and this year we're working off a year that actually we saw some gain. And so in an environment like that, we think any gain should be perceived as a positive one, and this number is slightly above our 10-year average. So we think in that environment that's something that I think you look at the glass as half full. And the theme really for the holiday season and for this forecast is consistent with what's going on overall across the economy, and that is slow and steady wins the race. We all remember the fable of the tortoise and the hare, and looking at this as a marathon versus a sprint, and we think this year there's nothing wrong really with being the tortoise, that for all these reasons it's completely consistent with where the economy is more broadly. In terms of how retailers are preparing, let me just take a minute and talk about some of the ways in which the industry is adjusting to this year's economic challenges. Again, unlike 2008, when the financial crisis and the dramatic downturn in the economy took everyone off guard, I think that retailers have a very strong understanding of some of those same potential challenges in this season. Many companies obviously have created opportunities to give consumers a head start and to spread those purchases out in order to flatten some of the impact and diminish the hit on discretionary spending. So that's had an impact on how the Christmas merchandise has been put out in the stores, and some have had this out for almost since Labor Day. We know that over the last 14 months of gains, we've seen what works, what does not work, depending upon the segment in which retailers are operating and their target consumers. So we know that this is going to be a promotional holiday season. We know that discounts are bringing people into the stores as they have for the last 14 months, and so we expect this is a holiday season that's going to be sort of filled with a series of promotions cascading one after another, and really all the way up to Black Friday for companies to be tripping over each other to offer those best deals. And the good news, obviously, is that these are promotions that are planned, that have been thoughtfully considered, and so they're not going to come at the expense of profits. The other thing, of course, is the way in which inventory levels have been managed. In many instances, companies are ordering about the same levels of inventory as they did even last year, for example, even though sales are expected to increase over last year. So retailers don't want to be in a situation in which they've got to slash prices in order to offload excess inventory and be in an overstock situation. And we know also that the supply chain continues to be a source of innovation and savings and potential risk management. So not only in addition to having lean inventories, we know that retailers are finding ways to get merchandise from one market to another in order to respond to consumer demand as quickly as possible and take advantage of those opportunities. In terms of the challenges that retailers face from a segment perspective as opposed to the macro conditions that, that sort of face consumers broadly, there's no segment of the retail industry that's obviously immune from the pressure that's facing the economy. And similarly, there are different opportunities for retailers depending upon the market segment that they serve. Luxury retailers, we know, have performed very well, and many of their customers are in some ways slightly more insulated from some of the economic challenges that we face, at least to the extent that those are commodity related and that really affect discretionary income. But on the other hand, those are folks that are potentially looking at these expenses as more off the balance sheet than the P&L statement, and so to the extent that they see stock market changes and net worth potential changes at some level, and we don't know what that level is, but that obviously has an effect on the psyche of those shopping there. At the department store level, we know that that segment has done well, has been gaining share, has found ways, as a number of have, by focusing on private label and finding ways to deliver value on service and selection and quality. But there's an opportunity for customers at this level to focus more exclusively on price, in which case then they may trade into a different segment. And then for the discounters, we know that that continues to be the most popular destination, and during this holiday season will be again for most customers. And so there are great opportunities there. But in many ways, some of the core characteristics of the economic challenges, particularly on the commodity side and the focus on price, creates different kinds of challenges for people operating there and those consumers. In terms of the consumer expectation, and Pam will have a chance to speak to this in detail, so we won't go into a lot of that and let her address those issues, but we know that consumers are in a better financial position than they were the last time it felt like this, and it did not feel like this last year, so that's why we're finding the expression of concern in a way that we didn't a year ago. Lots of consumers have deleveraged over the last couple of years. They've paid down debt. They've enhanced their savings rate. And, we know that the holiday season is something that people plan for and are prepared because of family and other traditions are prepared to make a little extra expense on. Having said that, we know consumers are operating with caution, that they're focused on finding a good deal, that is driven in significant part, although not exclusively, by price. We also know that they're going to be moving aggressively to use mobile technology and the really glut of data that's out there now to focus on, in a very aggressive way, finding the best opportunity, whether that's researching price, taking advantage of promotions, or checking on online and other kinds of reviews. So we know it's going to be a focus on budget, and we think that there's going to be more discipline in terms of the way in which consumers are going to spend money, and less of the sort of experience where someone just walked into a mall without an idea where they wanted to end up and then just bought whatever they sort of walked across. While consumers, of course, do have an appetite for sales and have been responding to promotions, the oversupply situation that we saw in 2008 when there was a significant excess inventory that retailers had to work off through unplanned discounts is not something that is going to be likely to happen this year. And so I think there's a transition taking place in the mind of consumers who need to get used to the fact that that's not going to be an every year kind of an occurrence. In terms of the things that are going to be purchased, we think that in some ways there's going to be a greater focus on the kind of everyday items that are going to get more use, maybe than the kind of item that would be a once a year or a special occasion thing, whether that's apparel or electronics. And we think that just reflects the overall nature of the economy, which people are going to be thinking carefully about their spending decisions. For us, it's very obvious, and we think for our members and for most of the consuming public, it's no secret that this is really the most important time of the year for many retailers. Holiday sales represent between 25 and 40% of the sales for some retail companies. But we're looking ahead to a season that will result in $466 billion of economic activity across the U.S., and importantly, that is a number that's in excess of anything we've reached before. In 2010, we only got back to 2007 levels. So in 2011, we're actually into new and uncharted territory, and we think that is a positive sign. This is an industry that's creating more than 40 million jobs in the economy, and when you put in perspective this $466 billion, this is on a par with some of the proposals that have been put forward in terms of job creation activity and other things. So this has an enormous macro effect on the economy, and it's important not just to the retail industry, but more broadly to the overall economic health of the entire United States. With that, let me turn this over to Pam Goodfellow from Big Research, and she can outline a number of consumer trends that will be useful to watch over the next 90 days. Pam?
Thank you, Matt. I really do appreciate the opportunity to be on the call today. And for my portion of the call here, I'm going to be discussing the five trends we're seeing from consumers headed into the holiday season from our monthly Consumer Intentions and Actions Survey. Diving right in here, my first point today is that consumers aren't confident in the economy. Our current reading from September was 22.7% who were very confident or confident in chances for a strong economy. We were actually in the high 20% range throughout the recession at this point in the year, so we are tracking below that. What we would consider a good reading and a strong economy would be in the 40% range, so we are well below that number. This month's reading is actually the lowest September reading we've seen in our survey's 10-year history. It's just the factors that go into this are that consumers are still really unsettled by the debt crisis, the housing market, the war. It's an upcoming election year, and particularly alarming to consumers is unemployment. And these types of insecure feelings about the economy really can lead to tighter grips on the wallets and have a damaging impact to retailers for the holiday season. Now, I spoke on unemployment, and that gets me to my second point here, is that while the U.S. unemployment rate is alarming, personal job security is actually calming consumers. Nearly 9 in 10 think that the U.S. unemployment rate will stay the same or get worse over the next 6 months. And to break this down, more than a third are expecting increasing layoffs over the next 6 months, while about the majority, we're talking the 50% range here, thinks that layoff levels will remain the same. And just 1 in 10 is actually optimistic about layoffs declining. Now, what's the bright side here of a current 9.1% unemployment rate? It's really that it's been stable throughout 2011. We haven't seen that jarring double-digit rate for nearly 2 years now, and I really think that this is leading to a sense of personal job security. In September, only 3.8% said that they worried about becoming laid off themselves. And this compares to 6.7% in September 2008 and 7.8% in September 2009. So we're about, about half of where we were during the recession. So those that who were able to maintain employment throughout the recession and feel confident about retaining their full-time status probably feel more assured about spending for holiday 2011. As far as spending is concerned, though, that gets me into my third point, which is that practicality and focus on needs are still at the forefront of spending. The majority of consumers currently say they are spending practically. This is actually an increase of a few points from September 2010, and in line to slightly higher to what we saw back in 08 and 09. 58% currently say they are focused on buying what they need rather than making these impulse want purchases. This figure rose nearly 5 points from a year ago and is actually, like practicality, is trending a few points higher than what we saw in September 08 and 09. So what we can expect here is that practical-minded consumers will really continue to be motivated to spend via smart shopping strategies. And these are things like sales, coupons, comparing advertising inserts, using mobile devices for on-demand price checking. All these things will be really prevalent during the holiday shopping season. My fourth point is that consumers are using credit, but for varying reasons. We are seeing increasing usage of credit cards compared to September 09 and 2010 for major merchandise categories like apparel, dining out, and entertainment. But it's particularly rising for those kind of hard-to-avoid categories like gas and groceries. These commodity price increases are really posing a challenge to consumers who are trying to avoid adding to debt, and this is particularly occurring among lower wage earners. Higher income earners are also paying with plastic more, but this really seems to be less needs-driven. They're more motivated to use credit for incentives like cashback, discounts, and airline miles and those types of things, and they're much more likely to pay off their balances each month. So they're really effectively not adding to their debt. They're using credit to save money on items they would buy anyway. Now, credit right now is kind of a tricky subject, and I really want to emphasize that this will not be a credit Christmas. Credit really isn't seen as the magic money tree anymore. We really have to remember that consumers are very practical and focused on building financial security. So our lower income earners will use credit out of necessity, and they're really trying to do so sparingly. This holiday season, they will be very mindful that cashmere sweaters and impulse gift purchases on credit will not feed their families or drive them to work. And our higher income consumers will opt for credit to reap rewards and not as an excuse to spend more. My final point is that shoppers aren't shocked in 2011, and that just might help the holiday season. Consumers aren't experiencing that heart-pounding fear they felt about the economy in 08 and 09, and they really weathered the recession by returning to better financial practices, and this type of stability is good. Another kind of bonus here is that headed into the holiday, we are seeing increases over 2010 for big-ticket items like TVs, mobile devices, computers, and jewelry. But this really has to be tempered by the fact that we don't believe that this is going to be what I call a game show type gifting this year, where everybody gets a new laptop or diamond earrings or smartphone. You know, the idea that Santa had to load two sleighs to make it to the house this year. I really think it's going to be about that one great gift. So maybe it's a great quality handbag that a wife has been eyeing for years, or, like dad gets a new tablet as a group gift from the kids. And I think consumers are really going to be focused on quality over quantity as they start to more heavily focus on value. Consumers are starting to expect more from products and services, but their practical-minded budgets demand a fair price. So they'll still really be on the lookout for sales and promotions this year. And the final kind of item I wanted to drive home today was that even shoppers with money to spend still need to feel good about buying again. It's really up to retailers this year to provide a positive shopping experience, whether in-store or online. And customer service will really be key as the focus shifts away from the lowest price on the shelf and more towards value this year.
Thank you, Pam. I told you all that this is going to be just a fabulous lineup of folks, and I really appreciate, I think the insights were great. So let me just mention two quick things before we turn this over for questions. First, I want to let all of you know, before anybody else, that our Holiday Survival Kit is now available for download. This, as many of you know, has a lot of great historical information, consumer trends, et cetera, and the link for that is nrf.com/holiday-survival-kit, or you can find it in our holiday headquarters. But I definitely encourage you to print that out and leverage that information during the holiday season as you're writing your trend pieces. Also, I neglected to mention earlier that the data points that Pam referenced are available as a one-pager, and we are happy to send those out after the call. So if you didn't get a specific data point, no big deal. We're happy to send them out to you, so don't feel like you need to use up one of your questions on that. So I think with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Lindsay, and she will let you all know how to ask a question, and then we'll get started with the Q&A.
Thank you very much. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you'd like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. First question comes from Jessica Dickler with CNN Money.
Hi. Yes, this is a question for Matt, I think, because he mentioned how retailers were planning on their inventories for the season and said that there wouldn't be the oversupply that there was in some of the years before the recession or leading up into the recession. Is there a chance that there will be an undersupply now if the holiday season comes out better than expected?
I think most retailers would probably love it if their stores and shelves were empty at the end of this holiday season. They've obviously got this down to a science. This is very sophisticated. They've got a lot of historical data. So certainly that's a possibility, but I don't think that's something that we would say is a likely outcome.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Chris Hinton with MarketWatch.
Hi. I'm going to try to get in two questions, if I can be so bold. The first one is that the sales estimate for 2011, after adjusting for inflation, is actually about 1% where it was in 2010. I want to know if there is anything about the underlying numbers that you could tell me to account for that. And then I also want to ask real quick regarding job numbers. They've been increasing the last 2 years for temporary workers in the holiday retail sales area. And I was wondering if that was a reflection of labor becoming less expensive or some other factor.
Well, this is Jack Klingens, and you're correct that we do need to recognize that the sales numbers are in nominal terms. That is, they do have price increases reflecting throughout this past year. Prices have risen. We've seen that in the consumer price index. But in terms of how everybody reports their data, in terms of reporting for financial purposes, what total sales are, total profits, they are in current dollars. So the fact of the matter is, if you take out prices, using an index of some sort, the amount of goods and services would potentially be down, but you've got to be careful about just applying a general inflation index because, some prices increase and some prices are declining during this period of time. But to be specific to your question is that, yes, there is price adjustments that are reflected in the overall numbers. And then on the second question, which was
employment.
Yes. Well, actually, there's been gains in employment throughout this year in retail. There's been a steady increase, and it wouldn't be surprising to me that people might be even gearing up a little bit sooner than later As I've looked at the employment numbers, certainly retail sales have been increasing. And to the extent that, you know, we can't really factor out how many are full-time and how many are part-time. But the additions typically are additions during November and December. They can be great opportunities for individuals that are looking for additional income that could finance their holiday, for that matter. So to the extent that, you know, they are part-time, they're all full-time, we can't differentiate them specifically.
And is that – am I still on mute?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Is that a result, though, of it becoming less expensive to hire labor, or is it just – or could it be more to the potential of a different mix between full-time and part-time?
I think it's more mixed than it is anything else at this time. I don't really know otherwise in terms of wages and salaries. I think firms are going to be very careful in adding. They've been very efficient in their managing their inventories, and I think they're going to, you know, be efficient in terms of the use of labor also. When I looked at the sales and I looked at employment, there's, you know, sort of a rough estimate. You can take a look at sales to employment numbers at a very high level, and it's fairly consistent. So I think the number of jobs out there is reasonable given the outlook.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Dennis Maroney with Tower Group.
Thank you. Good day to everyone. I'm curious on the sales growth. You know now that e-commerce has become a very strong part of retailing and sales, and we've seen some nice growth there, double-digit growth in the most recent second quarter data that I've seen. How much of that is going to be impacting your estimates for this holiday season, I think? And then secondly, on the Pam was mentioning something about credit use, and do you anticipate that that the stores and the retailers in generally might be promoting a point of sale type of credit usage as a way of trying to drive sales this holiday season, despite the fact that confidence may be down a little bit? We're seeing some G19 data that's suggesting that there's modest growth in the use of credit. Thank you.
This is Jack again. In terms of e-commerce, you know, that's quarterly data, and when we did our National Retail Federation holiday sales forecast, it does not include non-store retail sales, our 2.8% is based on our traditional definition, and I also gave you that we're expecting non-store sales increase about 13%. A subset of non-store sales is e-commerce. We don't, as a percent of sales, has been around 17.6% for the most recent quarter, and that's up a little bit from a year ago. It trended a little bit down. I think that we will see online sales. I do want to encourage you to understand too that e-commerce is becoming even more competitive, and in fact, we'll see. Competition, especially from free shipping, that will be offered, that will probably drive sales amongst online online firms. So, to that extent, you know, I would suspect that, in you know, looking at the trend rate, that we'd probably be in that around 17.6% or so rate of increase for the quarter for the e-commerce. And on the second point. The fact of the matter is you're correct. And looking at G19, credit outstanding actually has increased in the last few months. Actually, last month, revolving credit was down, although it had been inching up, and non-revolving credit had been up substantially. Non-revolving credit, as you know, is like for cars and large purchases. So what that indicates to me is that consumers are willing to purchase, and there is this, you know, ability to pay. I still think they're going to be very cautious. Now, in terms of the use of the credit card, I think Pam was correct that they will use the credit card appropriately. And we did see last holiday season a spike up in the use of credit cards, but it also went right through the floor after the holiday. And overall, though, outstanding credit has, you know, been on a secular decline. One of the other questions I think you were inferring is that it's interesting, too, is that the fact that banks are now offering more credit in terms of credit cards. You're seeing some offers being made, but I think it's selective, and I think it's a means for them to probably broaden their line of business in some cases. They're feeling a little bit more comfortable about making consumer loans. But you know, the whole loan demand issue is a big issue in the banking world right now, and certainly the slowness has curtailed the growth in the economy.
And we also see the incentive on the part of the banks to move their customers from a debit to a credit product, and there could be some stimulation there that could help you, I would think, in terms of generating some. Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one now.
Pam, let me float you something. As we all know, many retailers reported comp store sales today, and we really saw kind of a mixed bag. No one industry seemed to be exceptional. No one industry seemed to be challenged. A couple department stores did well. Wholesale clubs did well. Dollar stores, off-price, specialty. What do you make of that, and what do you think that means for, since you can talk about retail companies and we can't, what do you think that means for some companies as we head into Christmas?
Well, I think it's kind of reflective of the cautiousness of consumers. They're really, they don't really seem to have, they're not playing retailers' favorites anymore, I don't think. They're more focused about where they can find the best value, the best product at the best price. So it might be where you went to a particular discounter for so long. You know, consumers are starting to look elsewhere. And I think we're going to see this kind of lack of loyalty throughout the holiday season with consumers shopping around. It's really up to the retailers this year to try and coerce shoppers into their doors or on their sites and try and get them to make purchases.
Thanks, Pam. Lindsay, we have one more question?
We do. We have a question from Emily Roach with Palm Beach Post.
I think we were just getting into my question, but you mentioned that retailers have very carefully planned promotions this year. That won't sacrifice profit. Can you speak a little bit more about that? Because obviously consumers have been waiting for these deals and apparently will still be doing that this year.
Yeah, this is Matt Shea. I think that that the needs both of consumers and retailers can be met with the way in which these promotions are going to be structured. So consumers have come to expect promotions. And, you know, I think they would like, obviously, to see a promotion on the order of the kinds of things in terms of the discounts they saw from a couple of years ago, and that won't happen. Retailers, on the other hand, obviously don't want to go there, but do understand the dynamic of the need to generate foot traffic or keyboard traffic, as the case may be, and so understand the value proposition of a well-timed and thoughtfully proposed and executed promotion. So I think that there's a place where those two lines converge, and consumers are going to find opportunities for value. Retailers are going to find opportunities to generate sales and preserve profit margin. And that in many ways is is one of the key distinctions between what customers got used to in a number of ways a couple of years ago. So I think there's been a gradual, and in some cases not so gradual, weaning of customers off the idea that there's always going to be a fire sale price. And depending upon the segment in which retailers operate, some have aggressively moved to maintain full price or move back to a price point. And others continue to work with discounting in different ways. So I think there's a way that both of those things can exist simultaneously.
One more point, too, Emily. This is Ellen Davis. I think Matt's absolutely right, and something else that's going to be different this year from 2008 is that in 2008, all of the big markdowns and discounts came close to Christmas. And this year, because retailers have been able to plan ahead for a more promotional holiday season, you know, Matt inferred earlier that these promotions are going to be spread out over a three-month period, not all, you know, kind of coupled the week before Christmas. So that's really good news for people shopping on a budget and people who want to shop early and people who want to shop when the selection is still good. But it also helps retailers protect those profits that are obviously important to the analyst community and to the retail company.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so we've got a hard stop at 2:45. So with all of that, I will say thank you so much to all of you who are on today's call. We will have a transcript available and audio available if you'd like to listen in or read any of this. And as always, please feel free to leverage nrs.com/holidays and call us or let us know if there's anything else we can help you with during the holidays. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.